Look in your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What does gospel mean? Gospel means good news. So Paul, the apostle, is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's saying, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the good news, the gospel, which I preached unto you. So he's recalling their remembrance. You remember when I came into your city with the gospel, and I was preaching unto you the gospel, which also you have received. So he's drawing on their memory. I have declared unto you the gospel. I preached it unto you. You remember that. And you have received this gospel message. You have received this good news, Jesus Christ, and wherein you stand. Verse 2, by which also you are saved. See, that's how God saves people. God saves people through the foolishness of preaching, people who save. Like just in this meeting. When the preaching is happening, as we are speaking to you the gospel, it pleases God. He has instructed how it works. It pleases God to save people. Who in this audience? Believers. And that all happens through the foolishness of preaching. What people call is foolish. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. That's my greatest prayer right now, is that some of you tonight will get saved. I pray that for my own kids. I pray that for you. For every person who can hear my voice tonight. This is the passion and the desire of our hearts, is that God would save you tonight. And I know He can. I am absolutely convinced that He can. You know something? With how exhausted I am, if there was a little bit of doubt in my mind as to whether God could save you tonight or not, I wouldn't be here. But I am absolutely convinced that God can save you. More than that, I am absolutely convinced that He wants to. By which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. About 10 days ago, I sat in one of my friend's houses in the south of Nicaragua. His name is Renerio. His wife let us in. We sat on the couch and we waited. Brother Kyle Wilson and myself. And we waited in silence. About 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes went past, and his wife came and she said, Dad, just wait. He wants to talk to you, but he just needs a little more time. I said, no problem. We waited, maybe another 5 or 10 minutes, and Renerio came. And he didn't come and sit down. He came right over, and he didn't stick out his hand to shake hands. He just from a few steps away, he reaches out his arms like this, and I stood up, and I gave Ray a big hug. And just on my shoulder, he sobbed. I sat down, and Kyle gave him a hug, and he sat down. And then we sat there for probably a minute or two. Nobody said anything. Do you know what happened? A few days before, Renerio's older brother, Alberto, was leaving his house on a motorbike. It wasn't his motorbike, but he was in the process of buying this motorbike, and it was a lot bigger than the motorbike that he was used to, and he was pretty proud of it. And before he left that small community, that small town of Dolores, to go into the capital city, Managua, he stopped and was speaking to his brother, Renerio, who is a believer in Jesus. And Renerio said to him, Beto, Alberto, please don't go tonight. It's raining. Beto, don't go. It's dangerous. It's windy. There's a storm. It's dark. And I mean, in Nicaragua, it's commonplace to be driving along the road and come up behind. Wow, that's a semi-trailer. Like, no lights, no warning signs, and it might be just parked on the road or with some branches or something 10 meters or 30 feet in front. Don't go. Please don't go. Beto said, I'll be fine, Ray. I'll see you tomorrow at work. Don't worry about me. He left. Less than 10 minutes later, Renerio heard sirens. One ambulance, two ambulances. And about 20 minutes after that, Renerio's cell phone rang. And a police officer said, your brother Alberto has been in an accident. He's in the hospital in Jinotepe, Hospital Santiago. Renerio went. He was in surgery. And when he came out of surgery, Renerio was beside his bed. Do you know what he was thinking about? Do you think he was thinking about how much his brother had in the bank? No. Do you think he was thinking about how much business, how much work his brother had to do the next day? No. There was one thing in his mind, and it was this. Alberto, won't you receive Jesus? Won't you trust Christ? Alberto, I want you to be saved. And in the mercy and grace of God that night, that Christian man didn't leave the bedside of his brother and just simply whispered into his ear, to the best of his ability, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not in the hospital. And I hope you'll never have to pass through situations like that. But I would like you to understand tonight, as clearly as you can, the most important decision you will ever make in your life is this one. Saved or lost? We read about Christ and that he died. Beto died in the morning. And Renerio, he said to me, I just don't know.
One day I will die, unless Jesus comes back to the air before that happens. But I'm sure that as people walk past the coffin and they look at me and they speak to my wife, I'm sure they won't have any doubt as to where I am. With Christ, which is very much far better. But tonight, if you died, would in fact people wonder? He heard the gospel last night that Jesus saved others. That Jesus is powerful to save. He can open the eyes of the blind. He can open the ears. He would open your ears tonight, that you would understand the gospel. And like Lydia in Acts 16, just fling your heart open to appreciate that Christ died for our sins. That thrills my soul, because I recognize tonight that I have sinned against God. So have you. I mean, I'd be ashamed to tell you things that I have thought, and things that I have wished for, and things that I have said, and things that I have done in my life. I would be ashamed. But I'm thankful. I am very thankful that God Almighty has seen every single sin that Mark Bockert has committed. I'm so thankful. Do you know why? Not only has he seen my sin, he's felt the offense of my sin. And I'm thankful that he hasn't missed one of them. Because Paul, writing to this church in Corinth, says, get this. Remember this. Don't ever forget this. Christ died for our sins. You say, I know that. I know you know that. But I hope tonight it sinks down into your heart. The purpose for the death of Jesus Christ was to satisfy the holy, righteous claims of God on account of our sin. Christ died for our sins. Somebody would say, but that is the Christian tradition. That is... Like, how would you, history details that Christ died, but how would you really know that it was for our sins? I'd just like to remind you a couple things tonight. It is according to the scripture. You can absolutely count on it. It's emphatically true. It's absolutely undeniable. It's gospel truth. Jesus Christ has died, and he died with this purpose. He died for our sins, and it's according to the scripture. It's not a dream. It's not something you feel. It's not something that you're just hoping for, crossing your fingers and your toes. It's written down. It's right here. Black words on white paper. Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. And he was buried. He was. And the third day he rose from the dead. See, I wasn't actually there that day when they arrested Jesus, and he was on trial all night long and just kind of shuffled from one place to another. And nobody could find an accusation that would stick. Nobody could find guilt in him. And it went on all night long. And
And the Lord Jesus, he was forsaken by his disciples, and they were at quite a distance away, the majority of them. And the Lord Jesus, he was before Pilate, and he was before Herod, and he was set at naught. He was scourged and whipped and mocked. Crown of thorns was placed upon his head and tied him to some sort of a post and literally whipped his back open. I didn't see all that, but I believe it happened because the Bible details that. I didn't see when they took off his clothes and they put on a purple robe and people actually bowed the knee in mockery and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they actually spit on his face. And all the time, the Lord Jesus, he was silent. As a lamb that was going to slaughter, he did not open his mouth. And he was presented to the people, "Behold your king, behold the man." And he heard them. He heard the cry of their heart that was expressed in their mouth. And as that people, they were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him. If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Away with him. We don't want him to be our Lord. We don't want him to reign over us." And Pilate condemned him to be crucified. And I didn't actually see, of course, as they put the cross on the Lord Jesus' back and he was walking outside of the city of Jerusalem. But I believe all that happened. It's all detailed. It's recorded. And when they came to the place that was called Calvary or Golgotha, the place of a skull, they crucified him. And the Lord Jesus hung alive on a cross. And for quite a number of hours, people walked by and they looked at him and they mocked him and they scoffed him. And you know, some people undoubtedly thought, like, wow, like, how is this possible? I mean, he saved others. Like, look, does he not? No, people walked and they scoffed in such a way that they smote their breast and they laughed and they did. You know something? There was one man there. He as well was hanging on the cross. You know what he recognized? He recognized that I am dying for my own sins. I deserve this. I'm guilty. I am getting exactly what I deserve. It's very significant what that malefactor, what that thief, what he understood. He said, "But this man," referring to Jesus, "he's done nothing wrong." And that's in perfect harmony with our text tonight, that Christ died for our sins. He certainly didn't die for his own. He didn't have any sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. Christ died for our sins. I suppose if in the next 5 minutes that I have, if all I said was repeated the scripture, "Christ died for our sins," according to the scripture, that it might be the best thing that have ever happened. Maybe the weirdest thing that has happened at a Stark Road conference. But I hope it means something to you. That Christ died for our sins. See, I am expecting to fly home to Managua tomorrow and to be greeted at the airport at night by my wife and our four children. I'm anticipating that. But you know, from 1 Corinthians 15, there's something that I also am anticipating, even in a greater way. Because the text says that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, but that he rose on the third day. And like tonight,
It's thrilling to my soul to know that as I'm talking to you, Jesus Christ is alive and well. I mean, he really is. He is alive and well. He rose from the dead the third day. They could have parked a bulldozer in front of the sepulcher. It wouldn't have mattered. Jesus Christ was coming out. God raised him from the dead on the third day. And the Lord Jesus, he ascended and he went up and up and up and he passed through the heavens and he sat down. Praise God, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And what is incredible to me is this. The Lord Jesus, whose name is above every name, exalted to the maximum. And yet I also believe that he's here tonight in the midst of his gathered people. And the high and lofty exalted Christ is interested in saving you right now in this meeting. I mean, that's awesome. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead the third day. And it's all according to the scriptures. And people tonight in this audience that receive him, that rest on him, that believe in him, you know something? Will never perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder if you know the song. Maybe we could sing it together. And when I think that God is Son.